Welcome to Positive Player. I'm Josh.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Dan.
I feel like I haven't seen you both in ages. Well, I've seen you, Matt.
Yeah, it was only yesterday.
Yeah. Josh took a week off the podcast last week to go and chill with his cool friends.
Yeah.
To go swim in a river on the hottest day of the year. So this is probably the closest to recording to release date we've ever been.
Yeah,
so we could be super topical.
We can.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my
God. What's that coronavirus all about?
Wait, are we Kel sent me something about some new pig virus now.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Fucking... God damn it, China.
The BBC are on it, so it must be real.
She then suggested that maybe China should just be locked down, and I was like, oh, I don't think you can say that.
I saw a picture last night of Ava Braun. Do you know who Ava Braun is?
I do. But for those among us who don't, History Corner Matthew, would you like to take this one?
Yes.
I don't know.
So Ava Braun is the long-term mistress of Adolf Hitler, who most people have heard of. Dan's shaking his head, he's never heard of Adolf Hitler.
he's that guy whose picture you take to the hairdressers, isn't it?
No, it was the silent movie star that then turned to like the audio films. And then Robert Downey Jr. played him in a film. Yeah, so Ava Braun, his long-term mistress. I saw a picture of her yesterday doing blackface. I sent that picture.
Laughing at the irony, not the concept.
Well, no, it's not even irony. It's very appropriate.
Yeah. What are you going to say?
I then sent that picture of Ava Braun, Hitler's mistress, to my brother, who is a history teacher, simply with the words, I knew there was something off about her.
Is that like just funny in a lot of sort of ways, like because she was also dating Hitler?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I was so proud of myself. Also, on an unrelated note, I'm back on the whiskey, so that may make me 10% more entertaining. But also, it does taste nice. You just need to learn how to like it, but I can't grow a beard.
I think I can grow the... I'm going to be really sort of, you know, heart glass... half full and say that I can grow the second best beard here.
No, I'll probably see you correct.
There isn't much in my life that I win, but fuck yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, Matt's on the sauce, so if he says anything too sassy.
To be fair, it's usually just Dan on his own that's on the sauce, isn't it? But
it's true.
In the mornings.
I'm celebrating having my furlough extended, so you know I'm not going to be up for anything tomorrow.
How long are you furloughed for again, bro?
Absolutely no idea.
Well, did that give you a new date?
Nope.
Just don't come like to work tomorrow.
Yeah. Maybe I've been sacked. Either way, it's cause of celebration. I don't have to be up in the morning. Woo!
Kel was like, how can I continue this furlough thing? This is working for me.
Oh, tell me about it. Like, part of me feels bad because I know that in the long run, we'll all have to pay for it in taxes. You know, and it's affecting the economy, but my $9,000 a year, according to the tax plan, will not make any difference.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's too sassy.
Did they tell you like, oh yeah, Matthew, so we don't want you to come to work anymore? Oh, right, cool, furlough. Yeah, we're actually going to stop paying you, Matthew. Oh, right, okay, I see.
Extended furlough.
Yeah, Matthew, we don't actually want you to return ever again. Oh, it's a long furlough, okay.
In fact, if you do come back, you could be in serious trouble.
Never. That's a really serious furlough. Right, okay, I'll
talk. Never to happen at all again. So Junior's getting married in October, and I'm the best man. And
sauce girls.
And Josh is also involved in some way.
I'm involved, yeah. What do I do? Do I greet the guests?
Yes.
Let me just practice. Hang on. Bride or groom?
I've never groomed anyone. Oh, sorry. Not the place. Oh my God. I'm just... Oh, this is... Ugh, I need to close this. Somebody's misinterpreting the lyrics for Menswear. Hey guys, this week it's Menswear.
Well, we said we should all laugh, we should be drinking amaretto.
Ah, yeah.
And stoned. But that does link quite well to me getting married.
Yeah, oh my God, yeah, I didn't even realise that thematic link.
However, there will be no one railing rackets off a porcelain basin. Because I've told my grandma, absolutely no way.
Oh my God, me and Lewis were listening to the George episode last week, actually. And because he hadn't heard it, and I was saying, like, it's so weird listening to it in, like, your car. Because, like, every now and then you forget you're listening to, you know, like, us in it.
Yeah.
And I was saying, like, this really doesn't sound like, it sounds like we're all in the same room.
That's cool.
Like, you really cannot tell that we're all on Skype sat in our houses, our own homes.
You know, I've been caught out before with listening to Four Finger Discount. And also listening to one of the many, many voice messages that Dan sends over WhatsApp, where I've replied, even though it's done nothing, because I've just been speaking to my phone, effectively. I've gone, yeah, what? Oh, yeah.
That's been.
But yeah, I've been caught out with that a few times.
But yeah, no, it sounded really good. And there was one point, Matt, I can't remember what you said, but Lewis started laughing and he went, it's great when Matt talks.
Is it because I'm a bit camp?
He was the one that did the came with the like list of Brian Cox.
Which I'm comfortable with.
I think it's pretty.
The stars.
It's a pretty good person to be likened to, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if someone was to say who's camper, you or Brian Cox, I'd have said Brian Cox, but maybe we're on a par and I'm just wrong.
You're more excitable. Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
I think Brian Cox's baseline camp, I think, is a little higher than yours.
You're a joint away from Brian Cox. Do you know what I mean? Like, give you a joint and lie you on the floor looking at the stars and there he is. Yeah. It's only Brian.
Oh, God. Oh, he's come for Dad eating a biscuit.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I'm even there and I'll never forget it.
Yeah. So, for Dan and the listeners, but not my fiancé, so Gemma, if you're listening at this point, mute it. One time, I had a young lady around at my house. And I think my dad was kind of proud, maybe, I don't know, excited for me. I'm not quite sure, but he just wanted to pop his head in my bedroom to have a look. And while doing so, he camply, and I mean camp, like...
I mean, say camply.
Yes, I mean camp. Took a bite out of a biscuit. But he didn't take a bite out of a biscuit as such. He placed the biscuit in his mouth and snapped it in his mouth, which, if you imagine that, that is camp.
Yeah, I can.
And didn't say a word, might I add. He just popped his head in, snapped the biscuit inside his mouth, and then left.
Keith, that is...
That's peak Keith.
That is peak Keith.
The guy has no idea where he's been a cock block, does he?
And comedy gold at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. If I was a father, I'd like to think I would understand when I'm being a cock block.
Meanwhile, the girl you've got in your room's like, sorry, who's that guy?
Yeah.
Like, he's single. Love the whole daddy vibe.
Well, to be fair, it was her that pointed out how camp it was. I'm just like, oh yeah, I suppose it was. I'm just used to him.
Speaking of being a dar, so I was thinking the other day, like, our generation might not, because you know the stuff that's like dad say,
yeah,
all that stuff that like dad quotes, they might get lost in like our generation when our generation are dads. So like what I mean is the other day it was like that dead hot day, I went inside and my next door neighbor was there and he went, oh, all right Josh, hot enough for you. And I was like, that's just such a dad thing to say, isn't it?
Cracking the flags as well.
Yeah, see,
cracking the flags.
I don't think those things will be lost. I think we'll just acquire them.
You'll hate yourself. You'll say it like, because I'd say cracking the flags, and I'm like, 1 second while I go fucking kill myself.
But like, I think as soon as you take things out of the local area, they become really acceptable and funny. Like, I like asking people if it's taps off.
It's what? Like,
if it's taps what? Off.
I don't know what that means.
There's going to be some like regional listeners that are going to be like, ah, yes.
Quick, so say Ginnell.
Oh, so it's actually Glasgow weather.
So people from Glasgow, they only have two types of weather. it's taps off or taps on. Which means like it's warm enough to take your top off or it isn't.
<That's funny.
laughs> It says pish below it. Pish and all right.
Like, that's genuinely, I used to work with a guy from Glasgow and I said it's taps well off, and he was like, yeah, it is, yeah. Like, he was like, fucking hell.
Oh, yes. Right, I'm adopting that now.
Yes.
The current weather is all right, in brackets, cloudy. Taps on. Oh, that's brilliant.
It is, isn't it?
I mean, just the idea that they're so keen to get the top off as well and let loads of Scottish people put the tops off, the imagery, it's great.
It's giving rain.
It's giving rain. That's some phrasing that I've not used. Or that... Do you know you said it's giving rather than it says that it will?
Mm.
No, I mean like the... Yeah, that's a good part, actually. I meant the, you know, the...
No, I got it, yeah, but... It...
iPhone weather.
Is that what you say then, that it's giving rain?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
that's interesting. That must be like some weird quirk of language from one of your parents or a friend or something.
Oh, it'd be me grandma or me mum.
It's giving rain. What's the weather you know saying? What's the weather giving? Taps off.
Right, should we get into the song?
Yes.
I've still got my amaretto, but maybe I'll get it. Amaretto and cranberry juice, that's my official recommendation.
You heard it here first, guys.
Yeah, pause it, play it exclusive. Pause it, play it endorsed. Drink. We should come up with a list of stuff that we've endorsed.
We should. You know what? I think we should pretend that we're endorsed by the people. Do you know what I mean? Like George from Home 5 pays us. Disarano pays us.
Do you know what? I'm going to start the hashtag. Pause it, play it, endorsed.
Certified. I'm going to continue to use Dan Certified. I've only used it like to you guys so far. Not even used it to.
Right, I've tweeted that. Pause it, play it, endorsed. Amaretto and cranberry juice. So that's the thing now. Anything that comes up on here, I'm hashtagging pause it, play it, endorsed.
Yes.
And also, we've got an Instagram now.
Oh, Dan, shit, son.
You are seeing Dan. Yeah, yeah.
Go on, what is it?
It's the 1975 pod. Right, yeah, so we are on Instagram now, so you can follow us on Instagram at the 1975 pod, where we'll be posting pictures.
Hopefully.
And stories. I don't know what of, but, you know, we're on there now. We're on there. Yeah, and you can tweet us at the 1975 pod on Twitter, or you can follow us on Facebook as well. We're on Facebook at Pause It Player Podcast. And this is before we become a podcast dedicated to the band The Lamb. you are seeing this, Dan, will you?
No, what is it?
Right, so a lot of people have discovered that there's a band in Japan called The Lamb, spelt like Mary Had a Little, and they've ripped off the 1975
completely.
It was like they've seen sort of first album 1975 and thought, what if we did that?
Yeah,
to where their album artwork is just the 1975. Their video, I can't find the video, but literally the video looks like you know, like the second album stage, and they had like the city on the background and that, and it's just like that. And the song sounds like Robbers, and they all look like the 1975. They look like a Japanese version of the 1975, and then amazingly, they're even doing the slashes in the spacing.
Oh, wow.
So basically, guys, we're a committed podcast to The Lamb now. Who's your favourite? Mine's the one on the left. Right, so today we are talking... Oh, what a great song. Spoilers. talking about menswear.
Yes, which if you own the album or if you can check the album listings on any platform such as the internet, that probably isn't a spoiler. However, there is no however.
Are you okay, hon?
I literally keep just searching the word menswear and just expecting Google to just come up with exactly what I want.
No, it's definitely not going to do. As someone that works within digital marketing, I can tell you that there'll be a lot of results before the song menswear.
Well, I've got the SEO sorted for that shit.
We do.
Yes.
Yeah, we do. What a great song.
Oh, what a brilliant song.
A recurring theme for this podcast, but how good are the 1975?
Yeah, I really like them. They're like almost as good as The Lamb.
Yes. I feel like they take a lot of inspiration from The Lamb.
I think they do as well. I think if I were The Lamb, I'd be getting the lawyers involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, menswear is just, right, menswear is, it's like, menswear is like, it's similar into the style of the EPs, but it's just a tier up, I think. Step up. It's just that sort of, it's that style, it's that very like electronic music inspired, and then it's like a perfect mix of like, not perfect mix, but it's like the ideas from like something in like Money,
and then
something in like with like the musicality of like Head Car's bending style of like, oh, it's just so good. And then the lyrics are brilliant, but we'll get into them.
I feel like it's almost a showcase of what they are capable of. See, obviously, as that unnecessarily long intro, which I'm not complaining about, I do enjoy the intro, but it is unnecessarily long. So that's kind of like the instrumental side of the 1975. And then lyrically, it's 10 out of 10. That's a great example of what they can do lyrically. And then the rhythm of the lyrics, again, is also great. Like, it's bordering on rap, isn't it? Like, so rhythmically delivered.
Well,
it's just a showcase of how good they can be.
I was going to mention rap, to be honest, in the way that I went on Spotify Mobile and there's, like, a new... What did they call it? It was like the story of the song or whatever.
Yeah.
Can anyone remember what that's called?
No.
In a nutshell, no.
It's just a storyline at the bottom, right? So it says it's about his best friend's sister's wedding. It was absolute chaos. I remember listening to Blinded by the Lights by the Streets. The imagery that's conjured in that song was this wedding. George has this piece of rhythmic ambient music and these two ideas became menswear. So to me, that is like rap music where you've got a beat and it's like, hey, bro, write something to this.
Like, yeah.
It's a way a lot of rap music's produced in that, like, you know, a producer will make all the music for a song and then it'll be like, right, yeah, like rap to this. And you might, you know, they'll have some input into it, but the basis is all there. And it feels like that, doesn't it? It feels like he's just thrown at him, going, write a story for this, mate.
Yeah.
But the story is so, like... Yeah, it's just so concise. It's like...
Yeah. It's an example of what they're capable of, or what he is capable of, lyrically. It doesn't spoon-feed you. It just gives you these details, and you can kind of build your own story, but... It's imagery, you know what I mean? Like, the words laid out allow you to build your own story within a set constraint, and it just works.
Yeah, like, my dream 1975 would be more of this. Healy, in the video, is, like, direct to the camera, cocky as fuck, telling the story of the song, do you know what I mean? Mm. So, like, if the music video for this song has to be at that wedding, man, and, like, shit's just going on around him as he's talking to the camera, and, like, I know I'm a 1975 nerd, but I don't think I like that about all the songs, do you know what I mean? But this song, I'm like, fucking hell, I could do you a storyboard for the video, and it'd be fucking mint.
So do you mean, like, you imagine the video to be the camera just facing him, and him taking you around the wedding and saying lyrics, explaining what's going on. Someone comes over and he kind of breaks character, not break character, but then he's kind of speaking to him and goes, well, you're the best man, so what's the plan? Or do you reckon they're saying it to him?
Yeah, I don't think he's the best man. That, I mean, we're into the lyrics there, aren't we? But that guy is like, well, you're the best man, so what's the plan? It's like, mate, where's the coke? Listen, if you've not got any, speak to Matt, he's always got coke. Like, that's the way I've always seen that line. But genius will be disagreeing with us later, and I'll be making my case.
Yeah. If we were to expand that video example, it could be speaking to camera, and someone comes, as soon as it says, why don't you talk to Matty about it? As soon as that line happens, someone comes over and he's like, well, I'll come back to you.
Yeah, he like looks over his shoulder and then starts telling the rest of the story.
Yeah, I presume he was talking about pills there, three pills. Or do you think he's talking three bags?
Yeah, just because the rest of the references to cocaine.
Yeah. Man's on the whiskey again, which links in quite well because I get buttery notes from this whiskey. It's so good. It's Jameson's Stout Edition, if anyone's wondering. Which, you know, to those the real witty connoisseurs, yeah, I know it's not Scotch, but I still like it, alright? But if you listen to Menswear with headphones on, particularly quality headphones, not that I'm flexing, but I've got them. Honestly, the bass.
Man's repping the Sonys.
Yes, I am. Oh, the bass is so good. And
so we've gone from...
It's buttery. That bass is buttery. It is... listening to that bass, it reminds me of being a bit too drunk, which happens a lot, although less frequently than it used to. And Bernie going, oh my God, you're so drunk. I'm going to make some buttery toast. And Bernie's approach to butter is incredible. She's like... I see you have one slice of bread. You will need a quarter of a packet of Lurpak for that.
Yes.
Oh, and that, I get the same level of sensation from listening to the bass of Menswear. Ross McDonald has done it again.
A hard agree from me.
Yeah. I've said it all. Let's finish that podcast right now. There's nothing more to say. Ross McDonald has done it again. Buttery, buttery bass.
Pressure next week. Goodbye. Dan, you said that it was the sample. There's like a sample that George had, and then it's like put the sort of like beat in the lyrics. So that you can so tell that the sample was that. Whoop, 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 whoop. You can so tell, can't you?
And like you say, it's like From Money, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's also like the song Money. I was just using money as a cool word to describe it. It's money.
Oh, right.
I wasn't, but I am not cool.
It's not that cool.
In case anyone what needs to... No, I am cool. That's money.
Just not money is cool.
It's just like... They have... Is it like producer stuff where like, you know sort of like... Just what sort of accents and what motifs they can give like a sort of... Like a sample or something like that to sort of like really make it like unique and like make it stand out in like the song. Or make the song stand out as a whole. And they've done that with this because it's like the sort of drum sample they've used is really subtle.
Mm.
And it's only when like the actual bass and the kick drum comes in, or the electronic kick, whatever. Oh, and those vocal samples as well. It's just so well produced, this. But that's what I mean, like when I say it's like from the ideas of the EPs, because obviously all that stuff is like self-produced. I feel like this is something they've added later to the album.
Oh.
And I wouldn't be surprised if this is something that they had, and then when they're working on ideas for songs for the EPs, they were like, you know, more inspired by what they'd done on the EPs. Let's do something more like that for this song.
I might even go as far to say they wrote it for the EPs, and he went, whoa, wait, mate, this maybe should go on the album. Like,
yeah, yeah, and I see that.
Because it just for the lyrical quality, you know, I don't think as much stands out in musically, because you think you got Heads Car Spending on the EPs, man, that could have been on the album, but
yeah, 100%.
Lyrically, the story. Like I can see him saying, actually, this isn't for the EPs. Let's fucking keep it. Put it third to last. Don't get me wrong, but
even though it's third to last, though, like it's so good. I feel like it's probably, obviously it's not for your casual fan that's like, yeah, I like Sex and Chocolate, but surely anyone that has a passion for the 975 goes, yeah, Menswear is a vibe. It's just so good.
That's like obvious. Like you see online now, people sort of talk about Menswear like it's in that category almost of like the top tier songs from this album. And like it gets mentioned a lot and people say that they love it. Like you see online all the time. People doing those things where it's like, you know, favorite song from each album. Menswear comes up so much. And like people doing ranking the order. Like I've seen loads of people like do this thing where they rank every single 1975 song in order. From the favy to the least favy. And Menswear's always like top.
Sorry to interrupt, but I've just looked out to the field and the cows are going for a jog. Like they're just running for no reason. Unless there's a dog that's got in the field, he's chasing them. They're just running.
Look, we've all put weight on in lockdown, even the cows.
Anyway, back to the real talk.
That intro, why? What is that intro all about? Why is it so long? Like, it's just, but it works.
It does. It.
Why? Why does it work?
I don't feel like it would be the same song without it. Like, say if you
no,
took,
it wouldn't.
If you just made it a phrase, a phrase before the lyrics begin. So you start it a phrase before the lyrics begin to the end. I think it would be a throwaway song. Maybe not a throwaway song, but
it wouldn't. I know what you mean. It wouldn't be the same. It's almost like really. It sort of pays off, doesn't it? Like, you give it time to sort of, like, build and build and build. And it does, like, you know, musically, it does build up. It's not just, like, different elements coming in. It does progress up until that where the singing comes in and then it's, like, everything. All the music stuff is coming in the song, all the elements.
Yeah.
I think they could have split it. It could have been an additional interlude. One, you know, a minute and a half interlude and then the song drops into an actual song. And they've like chosen not to. Maybe they didn't think the song was long enough, or maybe they just thought, like you say, it was this thing of two halves. I don't know.
I think if it was an interlude and then Menswear, I'd have skipped the interlude and probably wouldn't have enjoyed Menswear as much. I feel like it's a real wise, I don't know if wise is the correct term in this context, a good decision to go, you know what, those two they belong together and need to be consumed as one item. Because I feel like the payoff, if you've just got, say, Menswear as a song and that as an intro, the two don't, there's not the payoff. You need that intro to build you up, and then you get Menswear.
Yeah.
Because it just builds so much. It's not tension as such, but I know this is going to get sad. Just warn you. Maybe not sad, but a bit dull. It's the reason I like tennis. tennis lasts so long.
I know.
But it's because the payoff is there. Like, because it builds, it can go from this, you know, it's like, oh, that guy's got it, this guy's got it. It just goes back and forth. The tension isn't quick like it is in football, or unless it can be in football. In tennis, it's such a long game that, like, you're almost glad it's over and you feel relieved that someone's won it. Do you know what I mean? It's finished and there's that relief is there. I feel like it's kind of like that.
So I think that there's lots to unpack of what you both just said. I think it's too... I don't think it was a interlude because it's too... I don't want to say too good because the interludes are good. I mean, there's too much going on.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
And I think, the payoff is massive, but I'm wondering if, like, sort of the musicality of it is reflecting what is in the lyrics. Because I'm wondering if the first half and the second half is the split between the ceremony of a wedding and then the after party of a wedding.
Oh, we're just going to go there, bro.
It's too good. It's too good.
I know we're not in media studies, but if we were, like, I don't know whether that level of artistry would have entered the heads at that point in the careers. Maybe now, but...
Well,
I could totally see it.
It's that, why the long intro? Because this band aren't opposed to doing just instrumentals. And if they wanted to come up with a piece of music that was... what is it, 150, something like that, 2 minutes when the singing finally starts, they're not shy about putting stuff out that is just an instrumental. Like, why wouldn't they do it? Why would they attach this to the start of the song?
Bro, I've got it. Like, and the whole thing up until like 140 or whatever it is, right, is in the video as well, but it's just like cut scenes from the wedding. And like maybe Matt like talking to like a particular girl or something and like checking like the seating plan and where he's going to sit. And he's like, oh shit. Like, and he looks at George and he's like, yeah, I'm sitting next to a girl, bro. Fortunate placement. Yeah. And then like after the speeches, that's the thing that went after the speeches, there's this tension release. And then it's like, fucking boom, let's do this.
I can tell that Healy has never been married, because he would know that it's standard practice to do male-female seating plans. And being sat with a girl would not be fortunate placement, it'd just be standard.
Oh, for the after bit? Do you mean the meal?
Yeah.
Who am I sat next to?
Well, you're on the top table, so...
Me.
is it just us three?
Yeah.
I'm gonna get right up close. ASMR, whatever it's called. Third last on the album. Because it's the third act and this is the evening of the wedding. Mic drop. And the vocal production's really good on this song. Anyway, lyrics. Wait. Feature first, Dan.
Oh shit. Hey guys, if you've not heard this before, every week we do a feature called George Daniel's Last Scene, where we look at George Daniel from 1975's phone number and find out when he last looked at his WhatsApp. It's mainly a way of checking how connected I am to my own past. But, drum roll please. George Daniel's Last Scene was at 1957 today.
Ooh.
During the podcast. It's like he knows.
Where to even begin with lyrics? Well, the start, but you know what I mean. Dan, you said that someone put like the wrong interpretation of something.
Yeah, so I was, the first line I clicked on a Genius was, and listen, I only watched that storyline thing on Spotify today, so I've been on there and it's like, the Genius annotation isn't right, so it's like, it's the day of Matty's best mate's wedding. It's his best mate's sister's wedding. Whatever, that's semantics, isn't it? The best man has brought drugs, likely 3 grams of cocaine or 3 joints. However, there isn't enough for the bride to have for herself, and she pushes him to get Matty to find more. Now, I've always heard this, like, in my head, right, in this video, like I said, storyboard that I've seen. It, basically, you don't hear what the bride's saying, but she's fucking losing it at the groom. Like, it's just like, yeah, okay, yeah. And then he goes over to his best man and he's like, bro, if you've not got enough, go and speak to Matty about it. Just solve this problem. It's my fucking wedding day. I don't need this shit. Matty will sort this. And then the son like moves on. So I don't know. That's my interpretation anyway. And then what else does that quote say? She's putting off crying because she's not ready for the reception to take place. And she's trying to unwind before it all goes down. I think she's trying to get fucking high. Okay. She's just going to have a little emotional breakdown. Yeah. This is, I think this is another example of a song that you wouldn't write today. Because there's cliches and stereotypes about how women might react when they're drunk and stuff that aren't appropriate for Matt Healy's current personality.
But the thing is that women do cry when they're drunk.
Listen, the thing is, with gin, it's like pouring petrol into a diesel. Some point in the night, it's going to break down. That's the way I felt, like she's putting off crying. I think because she's not getting her own way a little bit. And that references later on when he's saying like he doesn't like the girl that he's singing about. He doesn't like the bride at this wedding. When he's seeing her about wearing now.
Yeah.
Hey, Northern England. What he actually says, doesn't he? What's he say?
Got on with your bird the first time.
Yeah, but that shows even further. He'd never say bird now, would he? Jesus. But that's the whole lyrics for me are so peak Healy. They are exactly what I want from him. They are conversational. He's telling a story in his own words, the way he'd talk to you in real life, and paints a picture without being condescending in any way or like
overly. Yeah,
do you know what I mean? He's not using like massive. It's just you can see this scene without him being deep or using, you know, his vocab's reasonably restricted in it. It's really accessible, but
I was just saying it's concise. Gets the point across in a poetic manner without being pretentious.
The very first line, the fact that he opens it with a drug reference, I feel in some way that's like a reference to sort of like previous lyrics, because so many, if you look at it sort of like chronologically as well, so many songs at this point have referenced drugs.
Mm.
And it's almost like, you know, the "Why Only Bought Three, What Are You Looking At Me For?" It's almost like it's saying to, you know, the person that he's addressing in the song, but also like to the audience, like it's like you almost expect him to have drugs at this point. It's like you're expecting drug references because you've had so many so far.
Yeah. Maybe that's why it's the third for the end.
Well, yeah, but chocolate, you know where.
And so far it's
the list
right.
is endless, well.
Oh, shit.
Not endless, you know what I mean? And then, like, it sort of carries on with the "why don't you talk to Matty about it?" It's like another sort of, like, reinforcing that idea.
He's your drug man.
Yeah.
I mean, I might be wrong here, but so I see, right, in my storyboard for this video. So he turns around and goes, "Well, I only bought three, what are you looking at me for?" And then it almost, like, rewinds to the groom saying to the best man, "Listen, you're the best man, why don't you talk to Matty about it?" And that's what's just happened. Now, maybe it's not, because you probably wouldn't write a song like that, but that's the way I've always seen it. Like, what are you looking at me for? And it's like, well, because the groom told me to talk to you.
Yeah.
No, can you not get any? And then like he has to go back over and be like, "Oh, Matt says he's not got any." It's like, fucking sort it out, lad.
What's that? It's that TV show. It might be Friends or something, where it could be How I Met Your Mother, where they're trying to get stuff. And they're like asking people things, and they always sort of end it by going with, "It's for the bride." And then the person's like, "Oh my God, let me help. Can you imagine, like, we need you to sort us out with some coke. It's for the bride. Oh my God, right, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've been lucky enough to like be part of a few people's wedding, and it is, you're there to take the pressure off people and to make it work, and people don't need to be hearing your shit. It's just make it fucking happen. And you're like, okay, shit, fuck.
Yeah.
It's fun. I like the pressure. Oh, shit. Josh is, like, realising the pressure that he's going to be under.
I'm expecting things to be run very smoothly at this wedding.
Yeah, well...
There's always shit because you introduce a load of people who suddenly have opinions and you're like, wait a second.
Hang on a minute. Yeah. The majority of weddings I've been to, I've walked down the aisle.
Holy shit.
And it's time to be the bride.
And I've spent, well, God, how many years of my life working behind a bar? I know all about calming people down and pretending to care what they have to say. Where are we up to here? We've only done the first verse. So, second verse, free bar, that's the point. Spilling amaretto because of the previous joints. Oh, I don't know. Do you know what I think it is, actually? I think it's... The lyrics are, to me, like, he's trying to write about a scenario, which is this wedding. But just because of the life they were living at that time, it automatically becomes another song about drugs because it was just such a big part of it for them.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I wonder why amaretto, like... I imagine he's got the melody, he's got, like, the rhythm, and he's like, oh, what is it? George, what's a drink that's four syllables? And George just like... amaretto.
Stella Artois. Oh, no.
I think it might be trying to order something more expensive, but that still tastes reasonable over ice. Especially with the other references to whiskey never starts to taste nice. Do you know what I mean? It's a free bar. What should we have? That is Britishness summed up.
Yeah. It's only 20% though, isn't it? Amaretto. So it's a long-term drink.
Yeah, but if you're on drugs, you're not really that concerned.
Do you get the idea of what I mean though? They want something off the shelf, don't they?
Yeah.
Top shelf.
Receding railing racket off a porcelain basin. Like, oh.
Such a great line.
Cocaine consumption ever been put more beautifully than that?
Yeah, but yes. Then if you actually sort of...
Once.
Look a bit. Like, if you think about what that is actually describing, then I think it quickly loses the beauty.
I really love the idea of a bride even doing it. I've been at multiple weddings where the bride's been sniffing and you just like look at you in your white dress fucking hoovering it up. The contrast just feels so inappropriate.
You are not as pure as that dress suggests.
It makes me sad though in this way, like, oh, when you were a little girl and you looked at those Disney weddings, is this what you imagined? You on your knees in a wedding dress racking it off the bog. Like, and it does, no, honestly, it makes me a bit sad. Like, but obviously nobody ever wants to hear that at the wedding day, but I'm like, are you in the back of my mind, I'm going, are you sure you want to do this? Is this what you want to remember this day as?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's just like, I don't know. It's just people doing coke, just like, I don't know, having a drink, innit? I think that when it comes like from that to immediate like a coke reference, and the next like four lines, it's just so like what someone on coke would say. That's who's he giving it the lips? It's like
yeah, it totally is. Thinking you could knock someone out.
Yeah, it's just
also sort of that pack mentality though of gathering your crew together.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? I can. Who's that over there, man? Like, and don't know. You can hear the conversation. You can hear a little nod over the shoulder, a little look, like from George.
It's just that, like, sort of like obnoxious kind of like paranoid thing where people are on coke. Like, you know, it'd just be a guy over in the corner, and it's like, oh yeah, who's that guy then? Yeah, oh yeah.
And it's quite childish, the phrase knock him out, like I'll knock you out. Like, people don't go around knocking each other out. It's just something people say in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe a bit longer. Do you know what I mean? So it's quite childish, isn't it?
I do love, by the way, on Genius, I do love the sort of stock images that people have attached to to the quotes.
What? One of them's from Wedding Crashers. Awesome film.
Oh, yeah.
I've not got to that one yet.
Up there.
Well, I think I'll say a couple words if you don't mind.
Yeah, grabbing the mic, it's a really interesting section because you imagine it didn't happen.
It's just that, but it's just depicting that obnoxiousness. Is that a word? Because it could be like, you know, I think it's the double meaning of like speech. I think I'll say a couple of words if you don't mind. I think it's a reference to probably like those kind of, I don't know. I think it's when it's put in the context of the next line, it's like somebody saying something that probably wasn't necessary. But I think it's also like people on coke just chat.
Yeah, they do.
Like,
I think I'll say a couple of words if you don't mind. Yeah, yeah, I do mind. Well, I don't mind that you do mind. I will just continue speaking anyway.
Also, I've got words in my head that need to come out, so good.
I never really got on with your bird the first time. Oh.
I met her out, dressed in now.
They're just so like, obviously the content, the actual lyrics is so good, but just the way they're phrased, that's almost like one of those where it continues past the line. Like, I never really got on with your bird the first time I met her out. That could be the line. Or, I never really got on with your bird the first time. How it sang, that could also be the complete line.
Yeah, not really caught that. Never really got on with your bird the first time. Like, for me, it ends at time and then goes, I met her out, dressed in now. But they are the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it was always, I never really got on with your bird the first time I met her out.
She was, and when I met her out, she was scantily clad.
Yeah.
Telling everybody you were shagging about. And then, but totally see what you're saying, Josh. It's like written from that coked up mindset. Yeah. Like, oh, I've got something to say, and I imagine you're going to want to hear it. Like, you imagine wrong, mate.
That's it.
Like, oh, shit, no, you're saying something that nobody wants to hear, and you're making a tit of yourself when it's like, I never really got on with your bird the first time. You can feel the cringe, can't you?
Yeah.
You know those, your cringe glands, you know, just under your chin? Not at the front, but like either side of your chin, like where your lymph nodes are. When you you can feel your cringe glands flaring up.
Your cringe glands.
And he's like dressing out, telling everybody you were shagging about, and then in that coke way, boom, something changes his attention. He's like, "Who's this?" Going for the kiss, like. And he's not interested in the fact he's just ruined everyone's life down the microphone because there's some fucking hottie that's going to give him a kiss.
Then I'm done. Probably going to yosh in your mouth. I've never heard the word yosh before.
Well, neither had Harry Styles.
Do elaborate.
Does mean vomit, I believe.
Yeah.
Do you know what? We actually talked too much to do the what have we been listening to thing. I've been listening to loads of Harry Styles because both his albums are excellent.
Yes, Harry Styles is excellent. I'm a big fan.
Check this. September 4th, 2013, Harry Styles at 1975. Love the Live Lounge and the album is ridiculous. So, so good. Found myself Googling Yosh speech marks.
Oh, I can't believe you remembered that. That is insane.
I remember doing it and I was like, shit, this is happening. Harry Styles just... fucking reference that guy that I know from Wilmslow.
I can't believe you did that on Gemma's 23rd birthday as well.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah.
Did he tweet that?
Mm-hmm.
Probably gonna yash in your mouth.
Cause it's fine for the scene. I'm gonna retweet that right now.
Yeah, that's good good advertising for this episode. Even Harry Styles likes it, boys.
Oh, brilliant.
Does Yosh mean vomit? Have we established that?
Yes.
Oh, sure. Good.
Exclusive. Welcome to Urban Dictionary Corner with me, Josh. Yosh, throwing up because of alcohol abuse and the example given, a word mentioned in Menswear by the 1975. Say, well, we've basically gone through all the lyrics there, I think.
Yeah,
and then it's just the last. I mean, obviously, ending the entire song with "I can hardly see because I'm on the verge of passing out." Wow, wow! Ah, what a tune!
It is, George. I feel like the outro is a George Daniel masterclass. Not really a great deal going on, but it's exactly what the song needs, which is true musicianship.
It's also like Josh said before, a mixture of all the EPs. Like it's like their style of music at that point. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Reborn into like and thrust on the album. You can see it.
I love the vocal samples that they use because it's so like vocal samples has been such like a massive thing in like sort of pop and electronic music, particularly in like the decade of the 2010s, and it's all over this album. Like it's Settled Down and Heart Out has got sort of like the vocal stabs and stuff like that. Yeah. This has got it. It's like more subtle, but it's just the fact that they're sort of, you know, we've said it before that they take from so many different genres. Mm. And they were taking as well, like, what was so current at the time. Because they weren't competing with... Oh, sorry, they wanted to compete with who were the biggest pop bands of that time. Mm. Even though they're not a pop band.
We're not a pop band.
Josh, I was hoping that you would ask me what I've been listening to this week because I've been listening to Dua Lipa and I thought it made me sound cool.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's just mix it up. Let's do the feature at the end, what we've been listening to this week. Go ahead, Dan.
So I've been listening to Dua Lipa mainly because Josh likes her, and Spotify started going, I've started to realise now that I thought Spotify had this sick algorithm and that it would, you know, recognise what I like and tell me and predict things that I might like in the future. I think it just looks at shit that Josh listens to and tells me to listen to it. I think shit's a lot more simple than I ever would have thought.
Do you know what's weird though, what I do? When I listen to pop music like that, I feel like I'm listening to it more analytically because I'm like, God, this is so good. I'm going to try and establish
why.
I
like it for the production. That's what you say. I like it for the production. The girls love that. They really give a fuck.
Dude, I think Dua Lipa is amazing. I think some of the songs she's released have been some of the best pop tracks from a British artist. God, this century.
Have you got any info on production, songwriting, partnerships or anything?
No.
Do you know who's been involved in her music? I'm putting you on the spot, but you can edit it out, so it's all good.
Ian Kirkpatrick, I know, is the producer.
Yeah. He's making vibes happen. That's what he's doing.
And I think New Rules, if you just listen to that, and if you really listen, if you go deep with the headphones and you listen to all the stuff that's going on with that, and that little drum break just before the chorus. No, sorry, like, sort of, she sings like the, I got new rules, I got them lying, and then they just start like, sort of like, oh my God, it's so good.
Ian Kirkpatrick uses Cubase. He's probably a sick producer.
Yeah, probably. I reckon he's probably made a bob or two.
1.3 billion streams deserved.
This shit, it is produced in a different way. It genuinely wouldn't be what it is. She's great, don't get me wrong, but a bad producer could have really fucked her career up.
But that's just pop music.
They've got a good producer. Yeah.
Also, speaking of amazing pop production, I said to you, Matt, the other day on our bike ride where I didn't try and kill you this time.
No, it was just that one time.
I thought it was a lovely bike ride we had yesterday. And you know what? I was just about to put it on Spotify, but I have to search your name on Spotify.
Good.
Oh God. What I have been listening to, like I say, I mentioned to Matt, Billie Eilish's album When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? Oh my God, it's so good.
What about Phineas?
Well, he's the producer, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got his own shit too that he sings.
Oh right. I've not listened
to it. Yeah, yeah. Some of it's fucking all right. I read a whole article about Let's Fall in Love for the Night. Some girl says like it's basically a feminist anthem, and so you start, it's like starts off and you think it's just going to be another misogynistic song about a guy using a girl for the night, but it's all about the girl, and she even like gets into referencing how musical elements like show like feminine, at least compared to the music production as you would expect, it's more feminine and talks about it. It's really sick.
I think that Billie Eilish album is one. Oh my God, it's 10 out of 10. It's phenomenal. And it's just so well produced as well. And you know what? It's just so not overproduced. Like, it's the production's just like sparse in parts, but it's just amazing. Like, they just nailed it. Oh, it's great.
I'm pretty sure it's all him.
Yeah.
And that he doesn't have any sort of credibility outside. There's no reason for him to be that good. I messed about with it and it was all right. You're like, mate, fuck you. Do you know what?
Do you know what though? Like,
I've been to uni for this shit.
How can I describe this? He's probably good at. Wait, no, his music production is probably like outstanding. It's probably fantastic. But he's probably good enough to a point that it's the idea of what she sounds like, because she's got such a like distinct sound, doesn't she? It's like a voice, her music, and everything. And it's probably like the fact that they've both kind of got the idea for what they want her music to sound like. And they've probably he's probably like produced this style of music so well. It's brilliant. Like this, you know what they should do? Oh my God. Right. This might exist. But they should do like some kind of music awards, and they should be like the awards, like Oscars. And they should have like, you know, best band, and that's it. Best album, you know, like best film, best album production.
Yeah.
Like,
I think it's a thing.
Is it?
I think so. It's just the awkward one where it gets like brushed over and the speech isn't very long. And then they do like a performance right after it.
But like, they should get like a guild of like people in the know. ITK. And they can vote.
ITK, I like that.
Because I reckon, honestly, last year, this film came out last year, didn't it? 2019. I think he'd have won. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, he's sick.
And do you know what? It's not even just like, it's not just like style over substance as well. The songs is fantastic.
Yes.
And I feel the same way about Harry Styles' album, but I think I mentioned that.
It's very good.
And then just to balance it out, hang on, what else have I been listening to? Just to prove that I am truly a mosher. I've been listening to Scent Anger, so...
Since our bike ride yesterday, and you said to, like, text me saying, oh yeah, R4 at the meeting place, which sounds cool anyway, I've been listening to The Last Shadow Puppets because they've got a song called The Meeting Place.
I never got into them, you know.
Oh my God. Honestly, that song, even if you're not into them, I feel like that, The Meeting Place, is the song you should just listen to and judge everything else by it. It's so good.
I'll give it a listen.
And that's my 2 cents.
Brilliant. Right, shall we sum up this song? Other than it's just fantastic. Yes.
Like, more of it, please, Matt. Like, I don't know, feel comfortable. Be edgy. Feel that you can be challenging and that people will understand if you can say something and you're playing a character or you're playing a part and it's not necessarily what you think, but feel free to challenge. Do you know what I mean? Don't get sucked into the trap of being somebody who's appeasing everybody and therefore never having a really solid opinion because you don't want to piss anyone off. This song's a story and I want more of that. I think it's sick.
Yeah, it's great. As opposed to, we went to Winter Wonderland, it was shit, but we were happy. That's straightforward, which I get it, which, you know, that can be a poetic device if the rest of your stuff is more conversational and beautiful, poetic, whatever you want to say it. But, yeah, we want more of this shit, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, but I don't undersell Me and You Together song.
Oh, no. I just used it as an example because it was just the first lyric I could think of, which was just so straightforward.
A bit on the nose. Like, I see what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. No poetry. It's just as it is. We went to Winter Wonderland. It was shit. But we were happy.
But I think they're trying to accomplish two different things, those lyrics.
Yeah, yeah, they are, but I suppose what we're saying is get more stories, paint that picture.
I think this song is just, oh, it's just so good. I think it's just developed from the ideas of the EP. The lyrics, they're just peak Matty again, aren't they, like you say? It's just, it could never be a single, never.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that's so appealing about it is that it's so different from something else, because if you look at structure, it's just like ABC, isn't it? It's not, there's no verse, no chorus.
No.
The music doesn't change. It's just a poem. It's a poem, isn't it? It's just poem over samples that they've changed, like turned into a song with just phenomenal production. And you've got some, and they still play it live, like they played it live when I saw them, like this February.
It's fun. Like, why wouldn't, if you were Matt Healy, why would you not want to bounce around the stage telling that story with the mic at your mouth, with no vocal, you know, stress, really, and just fucking have a crowd bouncing it? Only bought three, what are you looking at me for? Do you know what I mean? Like, anybody can sing this song. That's part of it.
Yeah, yeah, it's the equivalent of a walk, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just, yeah, you're barely singing. You, like I say, there's no stress on the vocals. But it's still a great song.
But it's like another rap thing, isn't it, to not have your traditional song structure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, whoop. I think we think it's all right then, this song.
Yeah, so I, far.
Think
What word did you use before? Wasn't certified, was it approved? What did he say for the, like, this, like, Amaretto is
endorsed.
Yeah,
we endorse the song.
This song, pause it, play it, endorsed, stamp.
There you go. Boof. Come back and talk to us about 12.
can we start abbreviating pause it, play it to Pippi?
Ah, he looks crap though.
Yeah, it's Pippi. Bye bye. It's Pippi approved.
I listened to something and like someone said like acronym, and then like the response was like, oh no, it's only an acronym if you can say it, like NATO.
Yeah, it's an initialism.
Yeah, if it's not,
say it. Yeah.
So like.
Yeah, so NATO is an acronym. BBC is an initialism.
Yeah. Right. Well, in that case, we'll wrap up. We'll get out of here. We'll go to bed.
I'm going to site for the second time in 6 months or whatever, but I'm spending the whole day in Leeds tomorrow on site. Crazy.
Whole day in Leeds. Leeds. Have you seen that somebody, you know, we said like, oh shit, no, we didn't say, I didn't think I told you. You know, we said that someone in the Bundesliga in Germany printed out Harold Shipman and Dominic Cummins and put it in the credits.
Yeah,
Someone did it with Bin Laden at Leeds.
Nice.
And then someone's done it with the Queen, but photoshopped her head so she's wearing like the shirt of whatever team it is.
The thing is, like, giving British people that opportunity, they should just know. They should just say, but no British people, because you're all dickheads. And I reckon all the British people that go, fair one. Like, they wouldn't even, like, they'd just be like, we are though, aren't we? Like, it's like letting the internet decide things, like that boat that ended up getting called Boaty McBoatface. Like, don't let British people decide your shit.
I feel, Dan, like you live in a world where, and this, don't worry, it's a good thing, where because you're not on Twitter, you don't see literally everyone argue all the time.
I'm completely oblivious to all bad news. I don't consume news in any way, which can be quite dangerous. Like, I didn't know about coronavirus for way later than loads of people. But I also don't ever have any negativity in my life whatsoever. It's really beautiful.
It's a good idea.
Because anybody who ever delivers any news needs to get paid. So there's always, to what extent have they exaggerated this news in order to sell advertising revenue? And
oh, so, yeah, 100%.
And, you know, we know that. But there's plenty of people that aren't as educated as us that don't have that awareness and live in that stress all the time. The bad news, the adverts, it's dark. it feels good to be to have withdrawn from that. And that's part of why I don't do social media.
Mm. I find it's easier just to let celebrities consume the news for me than tell me what to think.
Right, I'm going to stop recording. Are we saying bye or anything, or is that, are we done?
Yeah, yeah, let's actually say bye. Right, okay, so thank you for listening to the show. You can find us on Twitter at the975pod. You can find us on Instagram at the975pod. And you can find us on Facebook as well by searching Pause It, Play It Podcast. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh William without the vowels. You can find Matt on Twitter and Instagram.
Okay, guys, hold on to your hats. Get yourself a drink.
I've been doing this so quick and just so on it, and here we go.
Oh, that was like, as you were saying that, I was like, well, holy shit, who's got Josh a fucking job in the media industry?
Well, in that case, I'll be dead quick then. My Instagram and Twitter handles are both Junior, spelled JewknWeor. Dan likes to pretend he refrains from social media, but that's a lie because he's actually the admin for Kylie Jenner's Instagram account.
Inbox me.
It's a very well-paying job. We are back next week with Pressure, which is actually such a good song.
Total jam. Can't wait.
It's not, no filler. No, straight on. Thank you everyone for listening. We will be back next week. So take care and goodbye.
Love you, you sexy bastards.
Goodbye.
I've got to get up at 6:30 in the morning, guys, so I'm going to fuck off. Hey, Josh. Do you remember when Matt Healy emailed us about the podcast?